Well, guys, good morning and welcome to Engage Church. And I am excited and I am incredibly thankful that you chose to join us for church this morning. Listen, you might have been bribed. Somebody might have bribed you with some lunch to come today. Your parents may have ripped you out of your bed, but you might have come because you were looking for hope. And I'm here to tell you, you're in the right spot because this is where hope is found. God has a purpose for us today. He has a purpose for you to be here today. If you feel like you are the least of these and you are unworthy, let me tell you what. He has a plan for you to be here today. It is by no mistake that we are gathered together and you are here with us. Alicia and I have prayed over the service this week. We have prayed for each and every one of you this week. And I believe that God has a plan for each of us. We are on week two of our sermon series of Ruth. And last week we talked about having faith in the face of adversity when things get hard. How do we keep going? In the same way that God orchestrated for you to be here today. Listen, your parents dragging you out of bed was not them bringing you. It was God designing for you to be here. If your truck broke down on the corner, it was so you would come into the church. I firmly believe there is a reason why we're gathered here today. The same way that God orchestrated for us to be here, He orchestrates events and He provides for our needs in unexpected ways. Even amidst seemingly mundane circumstances. And I have a story to tell. Generally, I get a sermon illustration the week of getting ready to preach a sermon. And I've asked Joel to share one, and I'm going to invite him up here in a minute, but I kind of feel like I have to share mine as well. So we went down and we saw Laverne and Carol Sue Thursday and came home yesterday. Who here has been to a Buc-ee's? Anybody else been to a Buc-ee's? It's a gas station. It's a humongous gas station, over like 250 gas pumps. It's huge, okay?
With three cars.
Huh?
With three cars, all 150.
You had three cars?
No, there were three cars.
Oh. Okay. So, we passed Buc-ee's going down to Laverne and Carol Sue's. It's on the north side of Springfield, and I wasn't aware that Buc-ee's was creeping into Missouri. And I see all these crazy videos on TikTok and stuff of people going to Buc-ee's and trying the brisket and all of this and all the things you can buy at Buc-ee's. So we told Laverne and Carol Sue, no breakfast for us. We're going to stop at Buc-ee's in an hour. And so we stopped at Buc-ee's, and my tank was full of gas, but it was just showing a little bit of space between the full. And so I said, oh, I'll pump some gas. Has anybody ever not had the gas pump shut off? All down your leg, all over that dumb. I shut that thing off three times, and every time I went to pull the trigger just to get what's left out of it. I was wearing sweatpants to be comfortable on my ride home yesterday. When I tell you that I smelt like gas, I bathed in it. Now, here's what you don't know about Buc-ee's. I went into Buc-ee's, and I was like, we can't go in there. We went in there. As soon as we walked in, do you know what we saw? Shoes hanging on the wall. I bought these at Buc-ee's yesterday. These are Reef shoes. For those of you who know, Reef is a decent brand of shoe. I have never in my life been to a gas station that sells shoes, clothes, purses, hard-sided coolers. If you can think of it, they have it in that store, and it is amazing. And so, anyways, I was able to change and get out of my gas cover, because who wants to ride in the car for another 7 hours smelling like gasoline, right? So what's the point of this? I made a mistake. I poured gas all over myself. I'm faced with a seven-hour trip home covered in gasoline, but the Lord provides that the gas station would have shoes. By the way, my pants washed out. They don't smell like gas, but guess what my shoes smell like even after washing them and soaking them? the rubber just soaked in the gas. They're going to be tossed. But if you've ever had gas poured on you, it is a strong, strong scent. Very strong scent. And so God provides. Even in the mundane and in the situations, God provides. Okay? So if you have your Bible today, and I'm going to ask you to open it to Ruth chapter 2. Now, I'm going to forewarn you, we are skipping verses. I'm going to hit some highlighted verses to kind of get the gist of the story. If you want the whole story, go read it. It's not that long. We're just not going to do that here today for sake of time. With that, I would like to invite Joel to come up. Norm, if you can unmute the yellow microphone, please.
Thank you.
Got my tablet.
Try to, in effort to not be too preachy, if I can get this pulled up here, I'll just read this morning. So, God's providence. Mike called me and asked if I could share something in my life that proves God's providence. And there are a lot of things, but I'm going to start with this, and we're just going to stick with this today. So God's providence is proof of His rule and His authority, not only in our lives personally, but in all of creation. Everything in creation is under the providing care of God. Not only does God supply all things, He arranges them according to His plan for His glory. From a personal perspective, you might say that His providence is God simply providing what we need, when we need it, long before we know that we need it. One way in which the secular mindset has made inroads into the Christian community is through the worldview that assumes that everything happens according to fixed natural causes, and God is simply above and beyond it all. We recognize Him as being bigger than our situation, but we often discard the reality that God controls every situation itself. I think we all have fallen into this assumption at times. God does still allow our choices to trap us in circumstances in which we should not be in. But when we're in those circumstances, God knows the path to get out, and He watches over each step of the way. Personally, I can't possibly list all of God's ways He's shown His providence in my life, but I can recall a very painful circumstance that rocked our world. Moral failures have become commonplace in our world, and unfortunately, in the body of Christ as well. Over 10 years ago, we walked through a trial of our own. For clarity, this was not between Nicole and I. The pain was deeper than just a broken relationship or a broken family. It was a lifetime of respect and dreams that were shattered. There was a sense of complete loss of control. I can't begin to tell you how horrific this situation was to our home, to our family, and the community. Many of you know the situation I'm talking about. We had no ability to run from it. We were stuck in the middle. Nicole and I had to navigate through this all while trying to explain to our growing kids the situation. I always knew God was in control. I grew up in the church. I was in a Christian home. I knew that. We always understood that God would take care of us through it. But it took years of painful conversations and prayer for us to see light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, there is still pain there. There are still consequences that will ravel down to the next several generations. The enemy still tries to supplant bitterness and anger in my heart as to why things have happened. I have to recall a wonderful passage from Habakkuk, and I think of Arvin when I read this passage, because it seems like I always hear him read it. Although the fig tree does not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Through it all, we have trusted God. He's already providing something better for us. We have to work for it. But isn't that what we're supposed to do? It's been 25 years this year that I felt as if a dream was gone. And I've had to work 25 years to try and claw my way back into fulfilling this dream. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. 25 years today. The Latin word providio, from which we get our word providence, means to see beforehand, a prior seeing, a foresight. That's actually where we get the word video. God saw beforehand what we would need to navigate this specific trial and many, many more, and to provide in the end. All it requires from us is our trust and our diligence to work through it. You know that? Sometimes we have to work through trials. Above all, as in the near sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, we know that well. The first time we recognize God as Jehovah Jireh, God has provided. And this applies to all of us. In his divine providence, scripture that I love. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Regardless of the situation I'm in, the situation you're in, we all have this sin situation. And this is where I give you the mic before I preach. But I just want you to know that God has proven himself faithful time and again. And throughout everything, he's still faithful.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That's my story of God's providence.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Joel. Let's jump into Scripture here this morning. Again, we're in Ruth 2. I'll try to say all the verses that I'm about to read so you can follow along. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean,'" and we're gonna come back to that word glean, "'glean among all the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.'" Verse 3, "So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened," I want you to just make a note of that word, happened. "She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech." Verse 11, "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left,'" remember last week, she made the choice of leaving. She was facing adversity. She left her home, her country, her family. "So Boaz says to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before.'" Verse 12, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Verse 15, "When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her.'" These are some key things that we need to focus on. Verse 16, "And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Are we seeing a theme here? Verse 18, "And she took it up, and she went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food that she had left over after being satisfied." Verse 20, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.' Naomi also said to her, 'The man is a close relative of ours, one of our," what? "One of our redeemers." You want to talk about the Lord's providence. We just went over a few of the highlighted verses, but I encourage you to go back and read all of chapter 2. There are so many instances of God providing. You're going to see all those, how God provided in Naomi and Ruth's circumstance. And it was all because Ruth went to go glean the field. That's a pretty mundane task, if you ask me. We can learn some really important things from chapter 2 of Ruth, and I hope you've got a pen, and maybe you can write this down or just take a picture of it when we get to the last slide. But there's a few things that we can grab from this, especially how God guides and how He provides for us. The first one is opportunity. God provided through opportunity. Many years earlier, what did God do? He gave Moses the law. And in the law, God directed that the Israelites allow the poor and needy to gather the grain left in the fields after the harvest. Years and years and years before Ruth and Naomi came to be, God had already created a way for them to have opportunity to be provided for. Through this law, God provided for Ruth and Naomi. Ruth was able to go and glean, to gather food for herself and Naomi. Notice they didn't bring her the grain. Notice it doesn't say workers gather it for the poor and needy and drop it off on their doorstep. No, the law stated that they could go and glean after them. Which means what? We've got to put our hands to work. If these are not working, there is no food coming to your table. She had to work. She had to take responsibility for the hard and perhaps even shameful work of gleaning the grain. Which, essentially, if we look at what gleaning is, it is scraping up the leftover grain that has fallen off of the pod onto the ground. In today's world, it would be like walking behind Arvin's combine and picking up the little chunks of ear that have split, that the kernels didn't come off, that are on the ground, or soybeans when they're too dry and you run them through the combine, what happens? They pop out and they bounce all over the field. You go walk in a really dry soybean field, you're going to find just as many soybeans that are in the field that probably made it to the bin. I don't know. But it seems like a lot when you're combining. You can just see all the seeds bouncing out of the head of the combine onto the ground. So it's essentially like, I'm hungry, Arvin's harvesting, I'm going to go walk behind his combine and I'm going to gather until I have enough to crush and make a loaf of bread. That's what gleaning is. So just as Ruth found provision through gleaning in the fields, remember, they had no way to provide for themselves. They were gone for 10 years. Naomi was gone for 10 years. Now she's come back with a plus one, and they're both widows. They're both poor. They have no means to provide for themselves. They found provision through gleaning in the fields during their time of hardship. Guess what, church? We also can trust that God will provide us opportunity when we face difficult circumstances in our lives. When we face setbacks in our life, God can and will open doors and He will provide avenues for us to meet our needs and move forward. Notice I didn't say He provides our need. He provides an avenue. We have to put our hands to work. Paul speaks about this concept in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Many of you know this verse. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We can endure and we can achieve all things that Christ wants for us as we rely on His presence, His power, and His purposes for our lives. The second way that we see is guidance. Remember how I underlined happened. She just so happened to show up in Boaz's field. It was not by chance that Ruth showed up in Boaz's field. God guided her steps to this particular field where she would encounter Boaz. And who was Boaz? He was a guardian redeemer of Elimelech's family, a relative of Naomi's late husband. We'll see how that comes into play in the following weeks. That's important. Earmark that. Keep that in mind. Like Ruth being guided into Boaz's field, did you know that we can trust the Holy Spirit to direct our steps and to lead us where we need to be? If we're not relying on the Holy Spirit to guide our steps, we're following our own steps, and we're going to end up somewhere where we would rather not be. As we navigate through life's uncertainties, we can rely on God's provision. We can rely that God will guide us every step of the way, knowing, one, He's always with us, He's always guiding us, and He will always see His plans and purposes fulfilled. What it requires from us is obedience. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, another verse that you all should know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. If we look to God for help and direction, if we say, God, I need You, I can't do this on my own, God promises to make our path straight. When we lean on His knowledge, He will lead us in the right direction. What does this do? This enables us to overcome the obstacle. We get to face the challenge, or we get to fight the setback that happens in our life. We get to turn it around. We start to make the right choices, and in doing so, we accomplish His perfect purpose for our lives. That's where I desire to be. And I hope that's where you desire to be, in His purpose for your life. The third one, favor and blessing. God orchestrated circumstances to gain Boaz's favor towards Ruth. So He was also working on Boaz while He was doing things for Ruth and Naomi. Boaz showed kindness and generosity to Ruth by allowing her to glean freely in his field, and even instructed his workers to intentionally leave extra grain for her to gather. This would be like Arvin on his combine hitting the auger and dumping corn on the ground for you, and then continuing to drive away and you've got a pile of corn. They were taking chunks of grain out of the, how they tied it together, the sheaves, and throwing them on the ground for her to pick up. Just as Boaz showed favor and kindness to Ruth, God's favor rests upon His children. God's favor rests upon us. We can expect God's blessings to be abundant in our life as we walk in obedience and faithfulness towards Him. God's favor not only opens doors, but it brings provision, and it sets the stage for His plan and His purpose to unfold in our lives. Psalms 5, verse 12, it says, "For You bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." What does this tell us? That the Lord will cover us with His favor as a shield covers and protects. I don't know about you, but I would like the Lord's favor to be a shield as I walk the path that He has designed for me to walk. The fourth one, abundant provision. Abundant provision. Think about this for a minute. Ruth's gleaning in Boaz's field, what did it result in? If you go and read all of chapter 2, she had so much grain. It resulted in an abundance of grain. Beyond what she could continue to gather, she had more than enough. This abundance demonstrates God's generosity and provision, exceeding Ruth's immediate needs. What did we just read in 1 Kings chapter 17 about the widow? She only had enough to make one loaf of bread, but the Lord provided more than enough. She ate, her and her family ate for a week, it said. God's provision is not limited. If you get nothing today, get this. God's provision is not limited by our circumstances or our resources. Just as Ruth experienced abundance in the fields of Boaz, God provides more than enough to meet our needs. He provides. We can trust in God's provision. We can trust that He will abundantly provide, knowing that He is able to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It is God who provides. Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Number five, relationships. Through Ruth's work in the fields, if we go and read chapter 2, we see that a relationship begins to form between her and Boaz. And the first thing that it starts is when Boaz said what he said to Ruth, "May the Lord repay you for all of the good that you have done." He had already heard her story. He had already heard how she left her country to come with Naomi, to live with Naomi and help care for Naomi. He had a respect for Ruth, for what she had done. So we see that relationship begin to form in chapter 2. Ultimately, as we get there, we'll see that it leads to significant blessings and provision and redemption. Similarly, God often uses our interactions. He uses our connections with others to bring about provision and blessing in our lives. How many times has a blessing come to you through somebody else? As we cultivate relationships, as we become friends, as we spend more time together as a church, we become grounded in love and kindness and generosity. We open up ourselves to the way that God might use us in those relationships to provide for us and bless us. We might provide for somebody something that they need, but in it, they're blessed by the provision. What we may not understand or see right away is how God is blessing and providing for our need to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up." Church, relationships hold many advantages. In fact, if you don't know the person sitting next to you, say hi to them this morning. Right? Relationships matter. Arvin, I'm just going to pick on you because I have all morning. Arvin was sharing in Sunday school. He started by asking us, what's the difference between being alone and loneliness? And he said, "I drove home a couple weeks ago by myself in the car, didn't even turn on the radio. I was alone and I loved it." But guess what? If he didn't have Crystal, there would be loneliness. Relationships, they matter. Now, I'd also like to hope she would be lonely without you, Arvin. I didn't ask her before I shared. I don't know. That's all fun, guys. But listen, relationships have advantages. God did not create us to live in isolation. If you're sitting at home by yourself missing church because you can watch it online, listen, God did not design you to be isolated. If you're not coming to, let's say, Sunday school because, God did not design you to live in isolation. If you're not sticking around for when we have meals after church, God did not design you to live in isolation. Rather, He designed us to be in relationship, to be a body together, to be the church. After all, don't we all need love? Don't we all need help? Whether or not we want to admit it, we might need help. And we can support others. And that's what relationships offer, especially Christian relationships. You don't always find that kind of a relationship outside of a Christ-loving relationship. Even in those Christ-loving relationships, They themselves are not enough. They are not enough for us without a personal relationship with God. Only then do we get to experience the constant companionship of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our sixth, what is the long-term perspective? God's provision for Ruth in the barley field of Boaz was not just immediate sustenance, but also it played a crucial role in the unfolding of his plan. So did it provide a here-now need? Yes, it did. We'll see later how it provided a bigger need, how we see God's provision throughout all of it. It unfolded his plan for redemption and restoration in Ruth's life and Naomi's life. In the same way, for us today, God's provision in our lives is not just about meeting our immediate needs. While the immediate needs are right here at the forefront of our mind, it's what we're thinking about, it's what we desire, it's what we need right now, we have to trust that he has a bigger plan for our lives. Joel, I believe in your story, God had a bigger plan. And that's why you're still with us today. Your family is growing in faith in our church because God had a plan. We can trust that God's provision is always purposeful. Does God do anything without purpose? I do things without purpose all the time, like trying to shut the gas pump off three times and then not learning that I shouldn't keep squeezing the nozzle. Okay? God's plan is purposeful, it is strategic, and he's working all things together for the good of his glory. Romans 8, chapter 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The promise is limited. It is limited to those who love God and who have submitted to him through faith in Jesus Christ. By the end of chapter 2 and verse 20, we see that Naomi realizes, what did we see in week 1? Naomi said, God Almighty is against me. He has stretched his hand out. He has made me low and lowly. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Right? Very different output here by the end of chapter 2, because she realizes that God had never left her, that he wasn't working against her, but he was providing in ways that were only starting to be revealed to her. Especially when she found out it was Boaz's field, and Boaz was the guardian redeemer of Elimelech's family. Now, you might not be as excited about that as I am, but I promise by week 4 you will be. Instead, he was continuing to show his love and his kindness towards her. And she says, he, the Lord, has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Church, God continues to show us that same love and that same kindness today. Stacy, if you'd like to make your way up here. Here's the greatest thing. Joel and I didn't even talk about this, but he talked about it at the end of his illustration. The greatest providence is that God provided Jesus Christ. He provided a way for us to be reconciled to him. Jesus' life revealed the heart of the Father. And Jesus' death was a sacrifice for our sins. He took upon himself our sins, and he took upon the penalty that each one of us deserve. And then Jesus' resurrection, that was God's victory over death. And it was his victory. But guess what? We get to share in that victory. His victory becomes our victory. By faith in Jesus, we are justified before God. Justified. We are made right before God because of Jesus. As Jesus takes our sins And he gives us his righteousness before God. We clothe ourselves in Jesus' righteousness, and because of that, we get to approach God the Father. When we do that, we then have peace with God, and we're able to enter to live in his presence. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Church, listen. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life, a life abundant. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, you're going to have an opportunity to make that decision here in just a second. What I need us all to know is that God's providential care extends to every aspect of our life. How silly is it that he provided through a pair of shoes for me yesterday? How silly is it when your checkbook showed zero and he said, "Give to that missionary"? Somehow money's in the account. How is it when you have bitterness towards somebody because they've hurt you so deeply? He gives you the ability to forgive them the same way he's forgiven you. That's providence, folks. It extends, his providential care extends to every aspect of our lives. He provides for our needs. He guides our steps. He blesses us. He shows us favor. His path of blessing and fulfillment is what we find when we stand in obedience to him. And listen, let's just talk about what we've learned as a church. Let's zoom this out from personal application and let's zoom it out to church application. If you haven't recognized it, God has provided for our church. Now, there's many ways, but I'm talking about one way here this morning. I just want to point to one thing. We have experienced God's providence through pursuing our name change. Last March, we voted for our name change. We as the board were prepared to spend a couple thousand dollars to replace our sign. We had money sitting there, but then we also asked the district if they would grant us a $5,000 grant to help us put up a new sign and to put up new lettering on the side of the building. It is through God's providence that the district took our grant request. They called me and said, "Mike, we decided that $5,000 isn't enough for you. We increased your request by 3 times, and we voted unanimously to provide your church with a $15,000 check to put up a new sign because we believe in what God is doing in your community." Well, that is God's providence. Arvin, did we have $15,000 sitting there for a sign, Tim? No, we didn't. In the chaos and in the unknown, God is faithful. So now what do we have? We have a nice, long-lasting, well-built sign. And now, instead of wood lettering on the side of the building, we have brushed aluminum that looks amazing. And if you haven't seen it yet, before you leave today, you walk out and you walk to the front of the church and have a good look at the new stuff we have representing who we are to the community. Church, I always end with engaging our community for Jesus, because isn't that why we exist? As we continue to faithfully and diligently, listen, the word diligent means intentionality, right? What does that mean? We have to put our hands to work. We have to be willing to do the work. So as we continue to faithfully and work hard, we're diligent in pursuing engaging our community for Jesus. Here's what I know. God has promised that we will see his providence continue. We will see his providence reign in our church, and we will see it overflow into each of our lives individually. So church, how has God provided for you? What has His providence been in your life? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I said just a minute ago that you'd have a chance to respond to a relationship with Jesus before you left today. That opportunity, it's right now. It's before us. Romans 10:9. It's very clear. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Confession that Jesus is Lord and a belief in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. So if you've never confessed Jesus is Lord of your life and that you believe that God raised Him from the dead, He wants to be your Savior this morning. If that's you, would you be so bold to raise your hand? Church, if you are responding to that this morning, there's no special prayer to pray. We do pray occasionally, but it's a heart condition. It's a surrender of who you are to Him. And it's a confession. Jesus, You are Lord of my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that You were raised on the third day for victory over sin and death. That's it. That's all it requires. But going forward, and I don't mean to make it sound so cheap and just so simple, because now everything in your life matters. It's a complete and total surrender to His will and His purpose in your life. So as we get ready to close today, I want to encourage all of us, first and foremost, God's providence, it's all around us. His providence is evident in every one of our lives. And here's what I want to do. I want to encourage each of us, myself included, to take some time today. You might need to get going, but can I just say 2 minutes is not going to make you late to where you're going. I want us to take time today and reflect on how God has provided in our lives. How now that hindsight's 20/20, now that we look back and we see, wow, God really had His hand in that. I want us to take time to thank Him and praise Him for His provision. And maybe you're sitting there and you're like, well, gee, Mike, His provision of my life hasn't been very evident. He's not done a very good job with me. It might look like there is none. Two things to that. One, you're here today. There's provision. There's truth in that, folks. Two, it might be time to ask God to reveal Himself to you. It might be time to ask Him to make clear to how He's working in your life. Lord, I just don't see it. I feel like I'm out here doing this all by myself. Maybe it's a place of surrender. I encourage you today to commit your life to Him, to surrender to Him, to surrender to His plan for your life. And as always, the altars, they're open. They're open for you to approach. They are open for you to worship. They are open for you to pray at, to be prayed for at. It's up here that we can do that without distraction. We can do it without interruption. And we can worship the Lord and thank Him for the blessings and the providence in your life. Can we take a few minutes to worship God Almighty for how He's provided in each of our lives?
We have a new song, and the first couple lines say, "One God with 1,000 names. You've shown up 1,000 ways, and your character has never changed. Forever worthy and deserving of them all. So as we sing the names of God, give him the praise and the honor he deserves. One God with 1,000 names. You've shown up 1,000 ways. And your character has never changed. Forever worthy and deserving of them all. Your reputation is of grace, and in your kingdom mercy reigns. One God with 1,000 names, forever worthy and deserving of them all. And we sing Adonai El Shaddai, God Almighty. And we sing Jehovah Rapha, Elohim, King of Kings. With every title that you claim, you proved it in the life you gave. More powerful than any grave. Forever worthy and deserving of it all. And we sing Jesus Christ, Son of God, Holy Messiah. Jehovah Rapha, Elohim. beginning and the end, and we cry, Abba Father, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and we breathe, Yahweh, it's your name, it's your
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful. Lord, we're in awe of how you provide every need that we have. Lord, that you do it with such foresight that the provision is there when we need it. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everyone in here today. Lord, I pray that they would see your provision in their life, that they would see the small things that you're doing, Lord, to bless them, to bring favor upon them, to guide their steps, to provide in a way that is more abundant than we can ever begin to imagine. And Lord, I pray that it all starts with acceptance of the provision in your Son, Jesus. Without that, none of this happens. So Lord, I pray that as we go about, you would guide the steps, that you would encourage us. Lord, that we would not be quiet when we see your provision. If that means in our car, we need to shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, we do so. If it's telling our neighbor or coworker, this is what happened and this is what the Lord just did for me, there's no explanation beyond the Lord. Lord, I pray that our lips would not be silence of your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' precious, holy, and matchless name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Oh, you too. Okay.